Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
I am woman, hear me roar. I'm a natural born hero. Raise a child until he's grown. Do it all by myself on my own. I'm a hero, shero.
I am
woman, hear me roar.
Hello and welcome to Alive to Thrive. That was the jingle for our guest today, Sunita Wells, who I had the pleasure of meeting at the Lisa Nichols Speak and Write event in San Diego in May. And turns out we sat next to each other at this conference in San Diego, and I thought she lived in Oklahoma, but turns out Sunita lived right in my backyard in St. Louis. So welcome, Sunita. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me. Yes, we happen to be neighbors, which was great.
Well, I've had Lisa Nichols on my program before, and just curious, how did you first hear about her and decide to go to Speak and Write to earn millions?
Well, I originally heard about Lisa. Of course, I watched the DVD, The Secret, and I knew her from there. And I had seen some snippets of her when she was doing The Secret and promoting The Secret. So I was aware of who Lisa Nichols was. And then a good friend of mine had the pleasure of interviewing her as well and had the opportunity to hear about Speak and Write. And so we got some tickets, and we mounted up, and all of us headed to San Diego so that we can meet her live and in person, and she can share her information and knowledge with us.
Well, that was quite the weekend, and, you know, we both have goals to be writers and authors and speakers, and that weekend certainly taught us so much, but it made and created new friendships, and you were one of the people that really stood out to me that weekend among the 300 or 400 women that were there as someone who had an entrepreneurial spirit, that you totally believe in taking action on making your dreams happen, and that you have an inner joy and an inner peace that radiates out from you. So I want to commend you for that, and talk a little bit about the movement you're creating. You're creating a movement called I Am Woman First. But maybe before we talk about that, I want to back up first, because I think it's important for people to understand where you came from, what your life was like when you were growing up, your teenage years, because so many women face challenges before they're 20, 21, in their early years. And as Lisa says, you have to understand my mess before you can get my message. So I'd like to know a little bit more about what were some of the challenges you faced as a young woman?
Well, thank you so much for the compliment. First of all, I appreciate that, and it is nice to know that someone can recognize some things about you that, you know, you probably, I didn't know that, you know, I stood out or had that radiation. So I thank you for that, and I appreciate that. My journey began as a teenager. You know, I was really considered what society considered a statistic. I was an unwed, single teenage mom. I had my daughter at the age of 16, and I was a single mother of two by the age of 20. And so I could have dove into that story and continued to be, you know, what society thought I should be. And according a lot of times to those kind of statistics, you are to end up with, you know, 4 or 5 kids, 2 or 3 baby daddies, and, you know, not have a success story out of that. And so what I decided to do, which is something I always say, I don't know if that's something Lisa says as well, but I always say I took my mess and turned it into my message. And so going through the journey of single motherhood, it is hard enough, you know, being a mom, period, when you're married or you're single or not. But being a teenage mom, and I'm still, you know, learning who I am and dealing with hormones and finishing school, and now I have the responsibility of this baby that I need to take care of because of the choices that I decided to make. You know, it all, that encompass all of that, it just makes it even harder. So what I did do was I was happy that at that time my grandmother was alive, and she really helped me with my daughter. You know, I would get up in the morning, and at one point when she was first born, I probably missed about a month of school, and I would get up in the morning, get her ready, get myself ready, walk up the street, catch the public transportation to my grandmother's house with this baby in tow and book bag and, you know, all of this stuff. She was born in February, so we were at the end of winter, and so it was still kind of cold, and hop on the bus to drop her at my grandmother's and then hop on the school bus to get to school. And so it was a blessing that my grandmother was still there to assist me, and it allowed me to graduate school at 17 and, you know, began my journey in college. But, of course, when you are a single mom, your plans don't always go according to what you believe that they will go. You know, in high school they asked you that question, you know, in 10 years, where do you see yourself from now? And you always say, oh, I'll be married in my career, 2.5 kids and a dog at the house, you know, the white picket fence. And, of course, those were my dreams. I wanted to be an actress, and I was always involved in dance, and I was a cheerleader, you know, the summer. And then the next school year, I was pregnant with my daughter. And so my whole life shifted, and I had to make some changes and really began to grow up and take care of this life. Even though I am the oldest of 4 girls, and I play the mother role a lot because I was raised by a single mom also. And as she worked, you know, I had 3 little sisters to help take care of. So I was already in the mother role, and then I had my own child. And so that journey of single motherhood began for me.
Do you think it's possible to break the cycle of teenage pregnancy? You said you were raised by a single mom, and so many women are these days, but, you know, how can we encourage young women to break the cycle?
Yes, I do think that it is very possible, and I think that what we have to do, it's something to me that is kind of a decision you have to make about your life. So what I believe people do is that we decide to take, you know, it's always easier to take the negative. It's always easier to say, oh, I'm in this box, I'm in this environment, and this is what my life would be. But if you really look at the world, there are so many more positive images that young girls can take on. There are so many more organizations. And, yes, you need your family behind you sometimes to push you. And I think that a lot of my things probably had come because my mother was working. She was busy trying to figure out how to raise her daughters. And not that that was her plan, but, you know, to be a single mom, which it wasn't my plan either, but we made those choices and didn't choose, you know, the best men to be fathers. But besides that, you still have so many more positive images that young girls can look to. And as part of my mission with I Am a Woman First, I take my story with young girls, for young girls, to understand that you don't have to make the decision that I made. And if you decide to make that decision, because to me your life is about a decision, we all know right from wrong, okay? Even as a young girl, you know right from wrong, and you have to decide those choices for yourself and really want more for yourself and know that there's a lot more positive things in the world as there are negative things. So you either take the fork in the road to the right or you take the fork in the road to the left. And a lot of girls decide to take that journey and take that trip and decide that this is, you know, I'm going to do some things that's going to cause me to be a single parent is going to cause me to have, you know, this child to be responsible. Or you can say, you know, well, there's a lot of great women in the world. You have Michelle Obama's, you have, you know, Oprah Winfrey's, you have all these successful, you know, women in the world, and you can take that road as well and look at that life and say, that's the life that I want and obtain that life. So I do believe that it is possible to break the cycle, and it's a choice that you have to make as a young woman, as a young person.
So what are some of the groups that you have spoken to, especially that are young girls? Have you sought out, you know, Girl Scouts or Girls Inc. or these kinds of organizations?
My latest project that I've worked on was with the Sophia Project, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's the founder, her name is Dawn Price. And I had a great opportunity to work with those girls on several occasions in their school, and we did a workshop at the History Museum here in St. Louis in Forest Park. And I used to have a nonprofit organization at one point in time, and my partner and I split, and so I left the organization. But with that organization as well, it was called the FAM Cultural Academy, we worked with young people in the St. Louis public school system through the arts. And so I had, being that acting was my passion at a certain point, and it still is, but I had the pleasure of working with these young girls through theater. So we would write small plays, and we would have, you know, group conversations. And so in my life, I have touched, you know, hundreds of women and talked to them and young girls. And so it's so funny that when you work with young girls and they grow up and you see some of them, and you don't really always remember names when you are dealing with a lot of kids, but you remember faces, and you run into them on the street and they'd be like, hey, Miss Anita, you know. And so that is the wonderful and great feeling about it. But, you know, those have been my latest great opportunity.
Well, and it's also that that when you work with young people, you are planting seeds that you may never see come to fruition. I mean, I was thinking back on someone who was one of my early mentors when I was in college, and I, you know, she has no idea the impact she has had on my life, where, you know, I didn't really know too much about women's issues. I really didn't know too much about violence against women culturally as it happens. I really didn't know about a lot of these issues, and I think it's important for women who have learned some lessons in life to share and pay it forward and mentor young women. We can all be a mentor to someone, and for those of you listening that don't currently have someone to mentor, you know, seek out young women, or through organizations. There's all kinds of mentoring organizations. Here we have, in St. Louis, we have an organization called Discovering Options that, you know, allows adults to mentor 12 and 13-year-old girls and boys, and it's phenomenal. So let's jump forward a little bit, Sunita, to the I Am Woman First. So how did this concept first start formulating in your mind about, you know, a lot of people have, you know, talked about, or maybe say, you know, we need to put, you know, ourselves first. And but where did it start formulating and gelling in your mind, and when did you decide to write a book?
Okay, great question. I began thinking about what I knew early, at an early age. What I knew was that I needed to take care of myself first. That was something that I learned, I would say, at around 18 years old, because I watched my mother work so hard. I watched her work so hard in taking care of us. And then when I had my daughter at 16, you know, I did what I was to do to take care of her. But at the age of 18, I think it really kind of hit me that I needed to be of better service to her, my daughter, by taking care of myself. I didn't think, and I really just believe that it came from watching my mom. And I didn't think that my life had to be surrounded by just my child. I had a good friend of mine, my best friend, she had a baby a few years after me, and I watched her raise her son, and it was always, always, always about him. Her life was always, always, always about him. And that is fine, because that is your child, and you are supposed to love, nurture, and take care of them as well. But what I knew for sure was that my life could not only be about my daughter. it could not only be about my kids when I had my son at the age of 20. And so that is a concept that has always been with me throughout my life. And so I made it a point to make time for them as well as make time for myself. So as my life and began to continue in my journey of becoming a woman and a business owner and beginning to write this book, I wanted to I got off into property management. That was the business that I had when I lived in Oklahoma with a good friend of mine, April Frank Hunt, which I'm sure you have on the show. She's now an author as well. And so we dove into this. As we were running our property management business in Oklahoma, we knew that the World Wide Web was, you know, here, and we wanted to figure it out. You know, how are we going to, you know, be a part of this, you know, phenomenon of the World Wide Web? And we wasn't quite sure which route to take, you know, where we were going to go. And so we dove into some things that did not work out. And then my life shifted when my granddaughter was born, and I had to leave Oklahoma immediately and come back home to St. Louis. And so while I was dealing with my granddaughter's health issues, April was, you know, deciding if she was going to keep the business and what she was going to do. And so she began to dive into the World Wide Web and learn some things. And so as time passed, we began to share, you know, this is what's going on, and this is what can happen, and this is what we can do. And so we began to share and try to, you know, decide what platform to take and how, you know, to make our lives better and how we can be of service. And so she wrote a book, and then she's the one who really encouraged me to write the book and to write a book. And so in that process of trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to share? Do I want to dive into a memoir? Do I want to, you know, share my walk of being a single mom and, you know, some of the things that have happened to me along the way of, you know, making those choices, or what is it that I wanted to do? And so that I am that part of me of nurturing and taking care of myself first came to my mind. And I said, I want to empower women. I want to inspire women, because at this point now, Brenda, my mother, all of us are grown. All of her kids are grown. She had four daughters. And my baby sister, you know, my mom is one of those that feel her job is done when you turn 21. You know, she feels, yeah, okay, you're officially legal now. Now I don't have to be mom as much. And so, of course, once my baby sister was at that age, then my mom was able to turn her loose and say, you know, my job was done. But when she did that, she was twiddling her thumbs. She didn't know what to do. She was like, my life had been based on my kids. She didn't build a life with herself. So with the I Am a Woman First movement, my mission is to encourage women to take care of yourself as well. Build a life as you are going through the journey of motherhood, if you're going through the journey of a small business owner, whatever your journey is, take time out for you, because one day the business may fly off and run on its own, and then what are you going to do? The kids, of course, are going to grow up and move away. Then what are you going to do? So that is a lesson that I learned at an early age, and so that is why I decided to write the book, I Am a Woman First, The Essentials to Nurturing, Inspiring, and Loving First.
I love that. And, you know, it's true, whether it's a woman who has her life totally 100% centered around her kids, and then she faces that empty nest and that almost crisis in her life when they leave, or if they disappoint her, I mean, in some way, and you know, break her expectations. It's really an almost overly focused obsession with one's children, but with work as well. I mean, I was that way for many years. I was so immersed in my work. I would work nights and weekends without getting paid, and you know, and I didn't take care of myself first. I was raised in that generation or culture that it's somehow selfish to take care of mm-hmm. yourself at all, let alone take care of yourself first. And there's that perception that women should just keep giving and being nurturing to everyone. And it took me many years. I mean, I'm into my 50s now, and it's only been in the last 10 years, really, that I have learned through support groups and mentorship with other women to take time for spirituality, to take time for meditation, to take time to exercise, to take time in the last couple of years to take time to go painting. I mean, I thought, that's just an extravagant not a waste of time, but I was so programmed that I had to be working so hard 24/7 that to take time to develop a passion or an interest. But let's talk about this notion of what is perceived as selfish and what is perceived as healthy self-care and self-nourishment. What is the difference, and what do you tell women and the women you coach, the difference between being selfish and the difference between nurturing your inspirations and your dreams?
Okay. What I share is that we have this thing where, like you said, you know, we are taught that we have to give and give and give, and we are natural nurturers. That is what we do. That is how women are created, and it is our job to nurture. We give life to the world, so it is our job to make sure that, you know, things are running smoothly, and we are the nucleus to our families. And that is what women have to understand. Instead of taking on this emotion of selfishness that has been given to us, it's been bestowed upon us, it's been branded to us that, you know, when we do something for ourselves, we are just being selfish. The difference in selfish and self-full is what I like to call it. Selfish is, you know, you have rent to pay and the kids need a new pair of shoes and, you know, they need this and they need that, and you're not providing those things because you are so busy, you know, getting manicures and pedicures just for yourself. The difference between selfish and self-full is that when you are self-full, you are able to give your kids what they need, you know, but sometimes you have to say no. You know, so in the book, I Am a Woman First, I give the scenario where, you know, your daughter comes to you or your son comes to you and they have to have this 20th pair of jeans. You know, my best friend has them. I have to have them. And if I don't have them, I'm going to die. And you got to get them for me. You know, and kids are really, really smart. You know, and this is something parents have to know. Your kids are really, really smart, and they are your number one manipulators, okay? They know which way to push, which way to turn you and twist you so you can feel like, okay, I got to get this for my baby, or, you know. No, sometimes, women, sometimes you have to say no to work. Sometimes you have to say no to your kids. Sometimes you have to say no to your friends. It is a small two-letter word. It sounds just like it's spelled, and sometimes you just have to use it. But you're using it in a self-full way to rejuvenate yourself, to reload your emotions and your needs. So if they need that 20th pair of jeans or tennis shoes or whatever it is, and you say no, then the next week they're going to need something new. You know, this is the hottest thing this week, and next week is going to be another hot new thing. So let them finish wearing the other 19 pair of jeans, the other 19 pair of tennis shoes. Yes.
We have we had two callers on hold. They might have questions or comments. Unfortunately, we lost one. So the caller that we lost, if you're listening, please call back in. And if anyone's listening and does want to call in with a question for Sunita or a comment, it's 347-237-5339. Let's see. We have a caller here from area code 318. We'll see what question they have or comment. Caller, do you have a question or a comment for Sunita? From area code 318, hello? Okay, they must just be listening in. That's fine, too.
Okay.
So we encourage people to call in, ask their questions. Give Sunita, she can do some laser coaching at the end of the session today. And we want to know, too, you know, how to get beyond guilt. You talk about this in one of the interviews you did about how heavy it weighs on women, especially single mothers, because there's always something to be done. There's always something else to be paid for. And, you know, let's define guilt. What is it, and how has it impacted women negatively?
Guilt is that emotion that, like I said, it's like a selfish feeling. You feel like if I don't do this, you know, what are people going to think about me? How are people going to feel about me? What are people going to say about me? And what I encourage women to understand Okay, to me, this whole process is about an understanding of who you are as a person. You know if you are a selfish person. You know if you are a person that gives and gives and gives. You know the type of person that you are. But it's really an understanding. And what I do is I like to take my clients through something that some women can't, some people can't handle. We can't do self-inventory. You know, you have to understand, why are you feeling guilty? You know, there are three words that I use. When I began to write this book, I wrote this book with intention. I started out with three words, and I wrote the book surrounding those three words: nurture, inspire, and love. What do those three words mean to me? And nurture is the element of feeling. What are you feeling? Every day that we wake up, Brenda, we have a feeling. If we don't do anything else, when you open your eyes, you feel a certain way, whether it's the pain in your back or whether it's, you know, a sleepiness, a grogginess because it's a rainy day. Whatever you do, when you first wake up in the morning, you have a feeling. And so the feeling of guilt is something that I ask women to acknowledge the feeling, analyze the feeling, and come up with a solution. Why do you feel guilty for not doing something? What is it about you, because it's about you, that makes you feel like, if I don't do this, then I should feel this way? And so as I go through these three words, nurture is about the feeling. But my favorite, inspire is about your love, your dreams and passions. But my favorite is love, because love is that space where we dig down deep and you dig into what I call your I am blueprint. Now, your I am blueprint is not as simple as when somebody asks you, well, who are you? And you say, oh, I'm a mom and I'm a doctor. And, you know, no, those are your roles and responsibilities. Okay? Those are your titles. No, who are you? And your I am blueprint will take you to that emotion of where the guilt comes from. Now, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. But these are things that I've had to deal with myself. These are things that I had to go through. I know a lot of women that go through it. And that feeling of guilt, you have to understand, where is that coming from and why are you allowing that to exist when you're making decisions about things in your life?
Mm-hmm. So I like that, what is your feeling right now? Acknowledge it, look at it, and release it. And I think that's important for women to do that with either a life coach like yourself, or a therapist, or a spiritual guide, or someone else, because I don't think we can honestly look at our own stuff sometimes like in a vacuum or in our own room or in our own journal or in our own head. And sometimes that's a very dangerous place to be, is in your own head, because then those thoughts get bigger and that guilt can get bigger. But sometimes mm-hmm. I think the guilt is passed on from our mothers, you know, and I think some of that guilt is just getting caught up in what, again, what society might define or mm-hmm. what, you know, social public media, what, you know, mm-hmm. roles women should play or this or that. So I think it's really important to detach from guilt. And I think there's a lot of women that have gone through years and years of counseling and therapy to release the guilt of just pursuing their own dreams, whatever those dreams are. And then I like how your three-step process leads you into inspire, you know, to be in that dream place. And then basically the I am blueprint. On your I am blueprint, do you have, I haven't seen the book yet. I know it's not yet out in final published form, and it will be soon this summer. We want to encourage everyone to go to Sunita's website to get that, Sunita Wells, S-I-N-I-T-A, Wells, W-E-L-L-S.com. But the I Am Blueprint, do you talk about I Am in terms of affirmations, like I am radiant, I am beautiful, I am powerful kind of I Am statements?
Yes, that is part of the I Am. And in order to get to the I Am, like you said, it's not easy to do self-inventory, okay? It is not easy for you to be in your mess and see what's going on in your mess. And I have been a victim of that. I was married at one point in time, and I was in the relationship wasn't an abusive, you know, physical relationship. It was more mental, which is a strong form as well. And so going through that journey, I had to step outside of my glass house. You know, I had to step outside. And when I had the opportunity to move to Oklahoma, that is what gave me that. And sometimes yours don't have to be as drastic as a move to step outside. But, you know, like you said, you may need the outside help of a life coach or a therapist or whatever it is that you need to, you know, step outside your circle. And sometimes when we're in that mess, we don't realize that we're in it. But listen to your friends, because my friends were telling me and I didn't hear it. And I do believe that everybody comes to that conclusion in their own time. You can't pressure someone and push someone to say, oh, you need to do this and you need to do that. But the realization will come in their own time. So in my development of the I Am Blueprint, I do it in affirmations. You know, I do it. That's why the book is titled I Am. I am a woman first. And I do it in affirmations because I was listening to, I believe, Joel Osteen, and he was doing one of Oprah's life classes, and he mentioned that I am is what comes after I am is what is true. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. What comes after I am is what is true. And in the process of the I Am Blueprint, you really have to dig deep. And I will give you one of my scenarios, Brenda. I had part of my in coaching and in life, you have as a coach and yourself, a business strategist, we still need mentors. You know, we still need people that, you know, that are a level above us that we can talk to and say, you know, am I going the right direction? Am I, you know, doing this or doing that? So we still need mentors. So I was listening to one of the coaches or mentor that I like, and her name was Christine, and she happened to be talking about her own mentor, and he told her something that resonated with me. And so when I heard this, I literally, Brenda, had a aha, bare essentials, I am moment. And he told her that her business was not being successful because she's giving it 99%, okay? And in her mind, she's thinking, I'm giving it 100%. So it hit me home. I'm like, okay, I'm giving it 100%. I'm pushing my business and I'm doing all these things. And he said, no, there's 1% that you have not dealt with. That 1% you have not dealt with. And I thought about that for a moment. I thought about that and I said, okay, what is my 1%? And this happened months after I came up with this another aha moment that I had. And at about 30, I'm 39, so at about 38, I had this aha moment that hard work equals failure. Now, when you're dealing with your I Am Blueprint, it is very hard to accept things, okay? It is very hard to do self-inventory. But in order to get over the hump, you have to deal with that. Okay, so my aha moment came to me that hard work equals failure because in my life, my 1% in my life, even though I'm staying up late nights, even though I'm talking to clients, even though I'm writing a book, even though I'm raising my kids, even though I have a successful entrepreneurial business, even though I had all these things going on, I still did not deal with my 1%. And that 1% was that aha moment that I had that hard work equals failure. In some of my journeys, they were not successful. And some of my things that I was pursuing was not successful, and I did not know why. So that aha moment for me, hard work equals failure, came because I had two wonderful parents. My father can build a home from the ground up and everything in between. Okay? My mother is smart as a whip, and she should have her PhD. But in their life, and as I grew up watching them, they worked very, very hard, but I didn't see the success. I didn't see the payoff. And so somewhere in my subconscious mind, I absorbed that, and I had never dealt with that. And so that process can, and your 1%, Brenda, don't get me wrong, your 1% can be something else. I talk to a lot of women, and we deal with molestation, we deal with abusive marriages, we deal with the loss. So whatever your 1% is your 1%. But my 1% was that moment. That hard work equals failure. And that was the 1% that I did not deal with. So in my I Am Blueprint process, that was my 1%. And that 1% is your subconscious mind that holds at least 5 times more than your conscious mind. So when Christine and her mentor told her, you pushing 99%, but you have to deal with that 1%, it hit me one day, and I just broke down to my bare essentials. I cried, and I said, God, this is what has been holding me back, my 1%. And so once I discovered that, and like I said, it's not always a pretty process. It's not a pretty process. So before you can get to the glories of I am terrific and I am wonderful and believe those things, not just say them, but believe them about yourself, you have to deal with your 1%. You have to deal with that one thing that is holding you back. You have to deal with that. There are a lot of people that will run a successful business and they keep hitting a wall and don't know why you keep hitting that wall. Why do I keep hitting this wall? Because it's something in you that you're not dealing with. It's something in you that you don't want to acknowledge. It's something in you that is hard to accept. Some women can't accept that they're horrible parents. Some people can't accept that they're not good organizers. Some people can't accept that they accepted this abusive relationship. Some people can't accept that they grew up this certain way. But you have to deal with that in order to move past that hump. It's a little hump right there. And on the other side of that hump is your success. So that is what the I Am Blueprint is about. That is
That's
what loving
really
yourself
stuff.
Is about.
That's really good stuff. We have to take a little break for 1 or 2 minutes for a station identification and a PSA. So we'll be right back. I love that. Acceptance first and just beyond the hump is where your success lies. We're going to continue our conversation with Sunita Wells, who's an author of I Am Woman First. She is a speaker, an MC, and a powerful life coach. So we'll be right back. Stay with us on Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, your host today. Hold on.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, in the town some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park, getting frisky in the dark. I gave your eye a poke, think the dog is in the bedroom, I smell smoke. You and me, we never, ever, ever give up.
You didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser on GGM News. And now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back, everyone, to Alive to Thrive. My guest today is Sunita Wells, and we're talking about her book that she has coming out this summer called I Am Woman First, and some of her lessons that she's learned in her life that she passes on to other women to inspire and empower them. So talk about the book. When do you expect it to be available for sale on your website?
Well, in the book writing process, what I've learned, this is my first adventure in writing a book, that it is a process. And so I have with me what they do at the end once you submit all your stuff, for those of you that are not, have not written a book, but just quickly, is they send you what a physical copy of the book, which is called the author's copy. And so I have that, and I have some changes. I made those changes, and then that's another process that you go through. And so I just spoke to them today because I got the final edit, and it will be available, I would say, the first week of August. So
wow. So that's coming up really soon, and I'm sure you'd love to travel around the country and speak to groups about your book and about your message and about the movement, I Am Woman First. But what is your ideal audience? Who would you like to speak before, if you could have any audience in the country?
The ideal audience are, of course, my women. In the ages 24 to about 44 is usually my primary group. I also share my story with teen girls because that is part of my mess and part of my message. And so that is what I look for when I am identifying clients and when I am talking to people, is that primary age group for just women. And you can be an entrepreneur, you can be a single mom, you can be a married mom, you can be a single woman, whatever your position is. The I Am a Woman First book is about you unveiling some things and discovering some things. So that's the primary age group.
So your book contains a lot of real-life stories of some of the women you've worked with and met along the way. Was it difficult to get permission to use their stories? Did you change their names or use the details of their story?
I used every word, and I used every name. Some of the women said, you can use my full name, safety reasons, privacy reasons. I did not use last names. But I put out a call to action to women and asked them a simple question. When did you realize the importance of nurturing, inspiring, and loving yourself first? And the stories flooded in, women out there in the world and people out there in the world, we all have a story to share. We all have mess that we've been through and things that we can share. And so when I put out that call to action, women answered. And I received stories from across the world, across the country, from Texas, California, Canada, Australia, and everyone's story varied. And what was the blessing about the stories, Brenda, is that as I'm writing the book, a lot of the stories fell right into the chapters that I was writing. Okay, a lot of the stories, I was like, oh, this will be great. So the book is set up where you get the chapter of the book, you get one of the ladies' stories, and then it is time for you to take some action. So it includes a workbook. The great part about it is that it's not a long read. It's really not a long read. It's a small book, something you can carry in your purse, something that you can have girlfriend conversations around, or something that you can just answer the questions and let them be your own private moments. But the women in the book shared stories about almost committing suicide, homelessness, being sexually abused. They shared stories about being the yes woman, the woman that said yes to everything. They shared stories about the time that they just took care of everybody and they had to say no. And there are stories shared about health. One lady, she began to nurture, inspire, and love herself by running. So she began to run marathons. She wasn't a runner before, but that running gave her a peace of mind. And that fit right into my health part of the book, because it is all about a complete woman. So in the chapter, It's a Matter of Life and Health, I put her story there because it fit right in. And so the stories varied. The ages of the women varied from 25 to 80, So I just appreciate all those women who shared their stories and were willing to share their stories.
So that's a neat concept about putting the question out and the call to action. In what places did you post that question?
I did a survey on Facebook, and the first survey that I did, I asked women what is it the best, what's the best thing about being a woman? And, you know, women share their thoughts and their comments. So I did a survey on Facebook, Twitter, and then there is a phenomenal media outlet called Haro, H-A-R-O, Help a Reporter Out. And if you're not familiar with Haro, it is a media platform that a lot of my friends that have been in national publications, that have been on national television shows, they put out inquiries, or you can put out an inquiry. And so that's what I did. I put out an inquiry. Haro is free to sign up, H-A-R-O, helpareporterout.com. It's free to sign up. I put out an inquiry. I told them my project and what I was working on and what I was doing, and this is what I needed. You put in your specifics on what you want, and they will respond. So that's how I got
that story. And then you just used your regular email address, and then they came flooding in.
Yeah, absolutely. I have eight chapters to the book, but I had so many stories. I have a young lady who shared a poem with me. I have so many stories, and so one of the chapters in the book is just stories, because I had so many stories that I wanted to make sure that I share those inspirational stories with other women, because, you know, my story may not be your story, but one of these women, their story is your story, and you can understand it and know that you can still triumph because they did. So one of the chapters is called Inspiration from Near and Far, and they just, you know, it's full of their stories, and they shared their stories with us.
Fantastic. And I do believe everyone has a particular story to share. And I love that in one of your interviews you said, don't let another day go by without making some lasting changes for your future. And that, you know, the working the double Ds, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, the difference between discernment and then deciding to take action. But discernment is a great word. Talk about what discernment means to you.
When I began this year, you know, every year we do these things called New Year resolutions. And so we set all these things aside and say, oh, I want to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And so for myself, I had two. My New Year resolutions were two things. And one of those things was discern and decide. And I call it the double Ds, and just to put a nice spin on it so people, you know, it will catch their attention. But discern and decide for me was I needed to be in tune with my intuition. I needed to be able to discern the good from the bad. I needed to be able to not judge a book by its cover, but judge a book by what it is that I feel in my gut. And so discernment to me is that feeling of intuition, that connection to your inner spirit, your most high, whatever it is for you. And so those were the two things that I wanted to have clarification on for myself so that I can make the right decisions in my journey of being of service. I wanted to be of service with clarity. I wanted to really understand what it was that I was doing. And in order for me to do that, I felt that I had to be in touch with my discernment, with my intuition, with my know-how, my truth is what I like to call discernment, your truth. So it's that feeling that you get immediately, and then the second feeling is the secondary thought. You know, so we have immediate feelings where the red flags go up, and then you ignore those red flags. No, I wanted to be in touch with that and wanted to acknowledge that and really be in tune with that. And so the discernment, once I was in tune with that, that gave me the openness to make right decisions.
And it takes a lot of courage, though, that after you do tune in, listen, and trust your intuition, then to take action and decide on the best course of action, that takes a lot of courage. Where does the courage come from to act on some of these awarenesses?
It comes from me wanting to do the right thing. That's what it comes from. It comes from me wanting to be of greater service, like I said. It comes from me wanting to take my message and really know that I'm doing the right thing. A lot of people, like you said, we all have stories to tell, you know, but are you going to tell it? And if you are telling it, what platform are you using to tell it? If you are telling it, what are your reasons for telling it? If you are telling it, you know, are you coming from a true place? And so that's where that courage came from for me. The whole I Am blueprint, the whole loving yourself, the whole self-inventory, that is what all that is for me. It's like I want to be making the right decisions that when I put this out into the world, because once you write a book, once you start telling your story, put this out into the world, what place am I coming from? And I wanted to, when I say be of greater service, that is what nurturing, inspiring, and loving yourself is about. It's about taking care of you so that you can be of greater service. You cannot be good to the world and you're not good to yourself.
Amen
because at
to
some
that.
Point in time, at some point in time, you're going to break down because you're so busy giving. You cannot give from your cup. Okay, we went to Lisa Nichols, and she confirmed this for me. When she did the whole process of the cup and the overflow, she confirmed that for me because that is part of my book writing process. The cup runneth over. You cannot give from the cup and give from the cup and give from the cup. And when she did that process, and, of course, you were there, when she did that, that was just a confirmation for me that I was on the right path. That you cannot
I want to describe that because that was such an incredible visual. It was right at the very end, which is interesting that she saved that for the very end. I think she did that to really make it memorable because she could have done that at the beginning of the weekend, during the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
She saved it for almost like the closing ceremony where people are emotionally cracked open, vulnerable, aware, in tune with her. And she poured water into a cup and kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring. And the water overfilled the edge of the cup into the saucer. And she said, so often as women, we give from that cup. And like you said, then there's nothing left. But she said, do not give from your cup. Give from your overflow. Give from your saucer. And I love that. That was just... That is so important, and things did shift for me as well as so many other women that went to see Lisa Nichols. And do want to, again, shout out, people can go to motivatingthemasses.com and look into her training. She's got tons of workshops all over the country and things. And to find Sunita, it's sunitawells.com and Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
I am a woman first. I am a woman first. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I am a woman first. Yes, but as you were saying with Lisa and the overflow, you know, that's something that we know, but we have to understand, like you said, and you cannot give from your cup. Your cup is yours. What's in your cup is yours. That's what's going to keep you going. That's what's going to keep you refueled, recharged, rejuvenated. You have to get to a point where your cup comes into an overflow and you can give to the rest of the world and be of greater service that way. And that's what
fantastic.
I am a woman first home mission
so
is all about.
So what cities do you have? What do you have on the calendar for the rest of 2013, your motto was New Year, Real Change for 2013. What do you have coming up in the next few months to launch the book?
Well, one of the great things, I know that my November month is going to be just phenomenally busy. I have the opportunity to speak in Illinois with the Illinois Federation of Women in Business. I know that you are working on something for November in Tulsa, so I am excited to be a part of that as well. I have a couple of more interviews to do. I just finished last week. So I'm really in the promo plug. And in November also is my 4th birthday. So I am doing a book signing birthday bash extravaganza in November. And that will be my official release party for the book will be in November. But, of course, the book will be available in August as well. So I'm kind of combining those two things and really pumping that. And so it's just a lot of, you know, things on the plate. And what women have to understand is that it is a process being an entrepreneur, it is a process of being a mom, but there is a way to, you know, conquer all those things and balance all those things. I don't think there's ever a true, true balance, but there is a way to accomplish, you know, everything, your dreams, aspirations, goals, you know, motherhood and all those great things, but you have to, you know, dig in deep a little bit, and that's what I encourage women to do.
Oh, that is so fantastic. So we do encourage people to connect with Sunita, invite her to your community. You can invite her for Women's History Month in March or in October. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, I know October is a month to honor domestic violence programs. And just, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the year, there's always opportunities to bring in great speakers to your workplace, to your community of faith. So, you know, share this interview with your friends and share the message, because Sunita is building a movement, and hopefully this movement will catch on and inspire women to take care of themselves first, because I love when certainly when mama ain't happy, no one's happy. Or what was that saying you said?
The saying is when mama's happy, everybody's happy. It's like a happy wife and a happy life.
Everyone's happy.
So when mama's happy, everybody's happy.
There you go. That's awesome. So we're going to close the program out again with the little jingle for Sunita Wells' book and her movement. And thank you so much, Sunita. It's been a delight to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. And I do want to say that jingle was performed by a relative in-law of mine. Her name is Tia Harper. She sang that for me, and I appreciate her for doing that. And so thank you so much, Brenda, for having me, and I appreciate everyone for listening. And like she said, share the link and the message, and I will talk to you all next time.
Thank you so much, and thank you. We were wondering who that the performer was on that. And also, you know, if you're a woman that needs coaching, or if you're an entrepreneur, you can connect with me on Facebook.com/ Galeforce LLC is my business, or Alive to Thrive is the radio show page. So thanks, everyone. Catch you next week.
I am woman, hear me roar. I'm a natural born hero. Raise a child until he's grown. Do it all by myself on my own. I'm a hero, she-ro.
I am
woman, hear me roar.